off at another church, international students from Korea. And I brought my new friend here this morning, all the way from Turkey. I didn't go to Turkey, but he just arrived in Vancouver yesterday. So this is God's message, and I need God's help to proclaim God's message this morning. And so I trust that, let's just pray that God will use me, because he's not brought us here just to be challenged. I believe with all my heart he's brought me here. He's brought you here to be changed, to be changed, to be really believing those words that we sang, our God is greater. Our God is greater. There's no one like him. And there's nothing that he can't do. So let's just pray. God, take away the blindness in our eyes. Open our eyes, as the psalmist says, that we may behold wonders from your word. And we read your word that's powerful and effective today in our lives. And we pray that this word will grip our lives today, that we will indeed be changed and not be the same when we came into church today. Lord, so do something. Thank you for that. You are working all over the world. Thank you that you're bringing people to us from all over the world. Thank you that you have a plan for us this morning. Thank you that you want to open my eyes this morning. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Some people are still awake. So let me share with you a story about some monks in a seminary. A short time ago, I heard a story about a young monk who studied in a monastery for several years, had never given the traditional first sermon. In fact, the very thought of sharing the first sermon with all the others learned monks in a monastery almost scared him to death. But he knew the day would come when he'd have to, and finally it did. The monitor of the monastery came to him and said, "My brother, I've noticed that you have been here several years and have not blessed us with your first message. I will expect you to deliver it on the next chapel day." The young monk fretted and worried and studied, but all his labor, he was unable to come up with a message. The day came, the monks filed quietly in their places, and the nervous young preacher stepped into the pulpit. Still not knowing what he was going to say, he held his Bible high in the air with his hand shaking and said, "Do you know what I'm going to say today?" 250 shaved heads shook in a negative response. "Then you better go home and study this book. You're dismissed." The monitor was quite upset. "That was uncalled for, my brother," he chastised. The next chapel service, I expect you to stand in the pulpit and deliver a real message." So once again, nearly scared to death, the young monk stepped in the pulpit. He held his Bible high and said, "Do you know what I'm going to say today?" 250 shaved heads thought they knew and nodded. "Well," he said, the relieved monk, "you already know. You might as well go home. You're dismissed." Once again, the monitor was very angry. And he sought out the young monk, and he found him and said, he warned, "My brother, this will never happen again. For you will take the pulpit and preach a message, or you'll leave the monastery." Once again, he came to the chapel day, and the young preacher stood in the pulpit, and he raised his Bible high in the air. And with a trembling voice, he said, "Do you know what I'm going to say this morning?" This time, the monks were confused. 125 of them looked at one another and shook their heads to the negative. And at the same time, 125 of them smiled and shook their heads to the affirmative. The young monks then blurted out, "Well, those of you who know, tell those of you who don't. You're dismissed." Maybe I can end my message that way. That is the message that I have to share this morning. Those of you who know need to share the message of those who don't. That is the message of evangelism. And so this morning, I'd like to share just that was my biggest struggle in my background, was sharing God's message and witnessing and sharing the gospel with people who had never heard the message before. In my high school and Bible school years, back in the 60s, by the way, my wife and I are celebrating this week, 47 years marriage. And she has served God for 48 years and I have 52. We have 100 years celebration. And we give God the praise and the glory. 100 years. And so we're going to celebrate. And this summer we're going to take 2 months off. And we're going to drive across Canada, 12,000 kilometers. And I'm going to be preaching in every Sunday in different churches up to Newfoundland. That's my vacation this summer. I pray that my wife will keep up with me. So I hated witnessing. In fact, I saw a book once called I Hate Witnessing. I grabbed it right away because I liked the title. And I saw many examples that turned me off. And I didn't understand what witnessing was really all about. And I also turned people off with some things that I did. Like in these cartoons. We got a couple of cartoons about people trying to witness. Well, I think, next slide. The world is about to end. I don't think that person is going to attract many people to Jesus. The next slide is, that's how they used to witness in the Middle Ages. Tell me more about Christianity. I'm really interested. You better become a Christian or you'll die. I'm going to kill you. So that's how many people got converted back in the Middle Ages. And then even by your dress, the next dress can be attractive or can turn people off. Well, sometimes I come with these shoes and people really notice them and they start talking to them. Sometimes I wear my badge and people just start talking to me about my badge and who I am. So it opens up conversation, but that one will probably turn people off. And how you act, next slide. I'm thrilled. Well, this one is, this little slide says, what does it say? I got it here. It says here, I admire those who served during the golden era of missions, forsaking all, sojourning to far-off countries, braving snake-infested jungles and risking life and limb to spread the word of God. And the other guy says, maybe we could go witnessing to the new neighbor down the street. I don't know. Looks like rain. So we have every excuse in the book. And I think there might be one more slide about witnessing. Next slide. That's it. That's all the cartoons for today. Just to keep you awake. I work with international students, as some of you know. When they first came to our club program, we sometimes asked them to introduce themselves. Like I'm going to ask this brother from Turkey in a few minutes. One day, two students from China introduced themselves. One said, I'm so-and-so, and I come from China, and I came here to get rich. Another one says, I'm Sean from China, and I come here to find God. The second one did find God because he became one of our student leaders. And he's living today in Shanghai and following God. I don't know what happened to the other one. God is here this morning, brothers and sisters. We sang those songs. Do you believe it? He's right here this morning. And he might, if he was to introduce himself, and I'm not God, but I think if God, I like to say that these words could come from God. So listen as if God is speaking. Forget your cell phones, forget anything in front of you. Just listen to these. I am God. And I've given you my message, and it's found in the Bible. It's the good news. Everyone needs it and can get it for free. I have a plan, a strategy that everyone in the world will hear it from every tribe and nation. But to accomplish my strategy, you must be part of it. You all must be part of it. Please make this strategy your priority. This message comes from God. This message comes from God. What is that strategy? It's found in the book of Acts. And today I can say with all my heart that I want to be part of God's plan to reach the world. And I've sought to be part of that plan since 1966. When I left my comfort zone, my nice farm, a great family to advance God's plan and God's kingdom around the world. This morning we desperately need that strategy because it is a strategy that works. And I realized part of that strategy for the last 17 years was to reach international students because they can impact the world for Christ. How many countries are represented at UBC? Anybody know? I gave a quiz last month. Somebody got a free book, remember? How many countries represented UBC? Come on, guess. You might get something free from me. Nobody's saying anything? You're still, come on, you're students. Some of you, you should know. Come on, I don't even hear a word. Just guess. Something. Someone respond, please. 70, okay. We'll see if anybody else is closer for the free book. Anybody? 300. One more guess, please. Some from someone. Thank you. One more guess. I want one more guess. Thank you. Somewhere between the number of this one and that one. Huh? Who said that? Come on up for your free book. Okay. 155. Still a long ways off. Should get it to the guy who said 300, but you're closest. God, what does it say? A leaping tap. Well, the person who influenced me the most for missions, and I'm missing my water this morning. So God will bless someone who brings the water this morning so I can finish my message. Okay. 155 countries. So you don't have to go to Burma or Myanmar or Thailand or India or Saudi Arabia. You can find those people on these campuses. And today we found someone this morning I picked up, just arrived yesterday, from Turkey. Turkey. I've been there, but most of you probably haven't been. Talked to Pastor Anthony this morning. He said he was going to Indonesia. Praise God. So, Acts chapter 8. Acts 1 verse 8, back when Jesus commissioned his disciples, we hear God's strategy that they were to preach the gospel starting in Jerusalem, going to Samaria and Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. The disciples really believed those words. And a few years later, in the same generation, Acts 17:6, the Jews who opposed Paul and his message complained that these people who turned the world upside down have come here also. They have turned the world upside down. In Acts 8, we again see God's strategy and how it works in reaching the world with 3 points. So here's the recipe for reaching the world. We're looking at 3 things. If you've got your bulletin, you can follow along as well. 3 things. God's messenger, God's methods, and God's message. Very simple. There's three points. There's 3 very strong principles that God uses. He uses ordinary people, next slide, who have an extraordinary God. God uses ordinary people. Look at that picture there. That's Focus Club. What's Focus Club? Part of it is just meeting international students for dinner at the university, serving food. How difficult is that? You say, I can't make food. Well, then just grab some money from your pastor and your treasurer and say, I want to have $100 to feed, to have pizza. And I'm going to bring the pizza. Students, that doesn't matter. They love pizza. They love everything, right? They love food. And so food attracts people. Many people who come to Jesus have said, I came here because I heard there's free food. And then they get baptized and they find Jesus. Wow, is your church serving food to international students? You're welcome to. We have Port Moody Pacific Grace. We have Burnaby Pacific Grace. We have these churches involved because I shared the need. And so, and Westwood Alliance and other churches, and they just go to their kitchen, they cook some food, and they bring it to feed 50, 60 people at the university. So simple. Anyone can do that. And that's part of God's strategy. But let's get first to God's messenger. Philip, next slide. Philip, motivated by the messenger. Who's Philip? Philip, if Acts chapter 6, we start reading about the guy. He's not one of the 12 disciples. He's just simply one of those guys that the disciples said, we have a problem in the church. There's some complaints going on about who's getting the most food. And so we need some help. We need some deacons. We need some people who can be available to help us to make sure that the church doesn't split. I've been part of church splits where churches argue about if the communion table should be round or square, what kind of carpet should be in the church, all these kind of things, what kind of version of the Bible they should use. I've seen church splits, what you should even wear on Sunday morning. I've seen these kind of church splits. Those are the things that turn people away from God and turn people away from Jesus because we lost our focus. But Philip, who is Philip? He's come to solve a problem in Acts chapter 6 of making sure that people all got equal treatment and there was going to be food for everybody. New Year's Day, my wife cooked food. She made Chinese desserts for 80 people. Half of them were international students. Ben, 2 students shared the gospel, their testimony for the very first time. So, Philip, what does he do? Well, who is he? Well, there is just a few things about Philip that we can get moved by because God begins to use this guy. Just that he didn't go to Bible school. He didn't get a degree. He's not a doctor or a reverend or a pastor. He's just an ordinary guy. Probably he's got a job somewhere working in the carpentry shop. But he has some time on his hands. And so he was appointed as one of the first seven deacons. Philip was full of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 6 verse 3. He started his ministry with hospitality, looking after food distribution for the poor. They chose him to wait on tables. But to serve God, no matter how small a task, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Nothing will happen in God's kingdom, and the book of Acts would not be written if the disciples were not filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, it's a command for all believers. Billy Graham says, I listened to his funeral on Friday, his memorial service, 99 years old, a man that deeply affected me in my life when I was a teenager and a young man. And I've given out hundreds and hundreds of Billy Graham books, Secret of Happiness and Peace with God. Billy Graham says, I don't care how you get it, just get it. So are you filled with the Holy Spirit? We need to be filled every day and not just experience like salvation. Somebody complained to Moody, why are you always preaching we need to be filled all the time? He said, because I leak. That's the first essential and requirement for every believer. What difference will it make if all of us were filled with the Holy Spirit? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll give you a holy go. There's no question. The reason you're not going, perhaps, is because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And Philip was also full of wisdom. Next slide. We desperately need wisdom for God to reach a pagan world and to know how to share God's message. If we ask, God says he will give us wisdom. I always ask God, give me wisdom to say the right things. I go to the coffee shop, open my eyes. Give me wisdom as I talk to this person. Give me wisdom as I talk to that student. I don't know what their background is. I don't know what they're thinking. But give me wisdom. God says he will give us wisdom. We need to pray that. Then Philip was available. Next slide. And adaptable. To be effective for God, we need to be fat. Fat is a key word. Flexible, adaptable, and teachable. Some other key words from Philip's from making his life were anytime, anywhere, anyhow, to be his witness. So there he is in the helping the food distribution, and the next day he's giving his testimony. He's sharing the gospel of Christ everywhere he goes. And then he goes in chapter 8, he goes to Samaria, and he starts preaching the gospel to people from a different culture, not Chinese. These were the untouchables. These were the people that were second class. And he begins to share the gospel with them. Philip, because he's full of the Holy Spirit, he's willing to, you know, I'm a part of the Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. And, you know, they never thought that people from Japan and Korea and other churches could come to their church. They were mistaken. People were attracted by the alpha and free food. And so soon we had five or six Japanese and Koreans coming. And I said, they said, we want to make this a multicultural church. I said, then you should drop your name, Chinese. Because Japanese people will feel more happy if it's not, we're not Chinese. Maybe we should not come here. We're not Chinese because we're from Korea or Japan. So I'm telling this Chinese congregation, if you want your church to be multicultural and international, drop your name. It's a church for all nations. It's a church for people from Turkey and other countries as well. Amen. Not just for Chinese. Does the Lord only love the Chinese? I know he loves the Chinese more than the Dutch. Yeah, I know that. I'm Dutch. And I want to say God loves the Chinese more. Why? Because he made more of them. He made more of them. Absolutely. So that's why I'm in the Chinese church. That's why I'm part of Westwood Alliance. But we dropped our Chinese name. We want to make it multicultural. So we have people from the Middle East there. We have people from Africa there and from the Philippines and all other cultures. Because this country is multicultural. And God loves more. He loves not just the Dutch and the Chinese. So Philip was available. He was willing to go anywhere. So he went to Samaria. And then God says, well, then I want you to go to the desert. I was willing to go to India. I was willing to go to Belgium. I was willing to go to the university, to the prisons. And God used me in those places in the last 52 years. God, Philip was obedient to the Spirit. Next slide. Philip was obedient. He was going to Samaria. He was now going to the desert. What's in the desert anyway? Gaza. There's a lonely road. Nobody's on it. I was in Afghanistan once driving to India in 1968. And no Afghans had cars. But because the Americans and Russia were competing for the loyalty of people from Afghanistan, they built them a 4-lane highway, 2 lanes built by the Russians, 2 lanes built by the Americans. And I was on that highway by myself going to India. Yeah. So he was obedient. He was willing to go to Gaza. I went to Kamloops. Why did I go to Kamloops? Because God put international students there from all over the world. People from India, from the Middle East, from other countries, China. They actually came to Kamloops and God opened my eyes. And he put me there to start the work there in international students. He was obedient. He did not ask questions. He just obeyed. And Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus, you have to go to the marginalized. You have to go to the people who are rejected, to the people who are on the bottom of society, because Jesus loves those people. He died for them. He loved them. And Philip was bold and brave. Acts 8:27. He was bold and brave. You know what does he do when he sees that chariot? He runs to the chariot. You have to run to catch up to that chariot. He runs. He wasn't just saying, oh, I wonder if this is the right place, if this is the right person. Well, they looked very important. They got a whole bunch of guards and soldiers around that chariot. I wonder what will happen if I go on there. They might carry me off as prisoner. They might kidnap me. No, Philip didn't think that way. He just went to that chariot. Fear paralyzes many people. God's people, instead of us being God's chosen people, we have become God's frozen people. What's stopping you from sharing the gospel? Did you do it this week? Do you want to get hugs? Last week in the snowstorm, I had to shovel snow all morning, and I got thank you compliments from 4 neighbors in my strata. And one lady opened her door and says, I think you need some muffins this morning. You've been shoveling my driveway. So I God opened the door to be friends with at least 4 or 5 people in my strata just by shoveling snow. And then I took my wife for a walk because she was bored being in the house all day. And the sidewalks were kind of unclear. But, you know, I just saw a lady coming on my way home. I just said to this Asian lady, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. She stopped. She said, it's not New Year. I said, for the Chinese, it's at least 2 weeks long. So I'm saying Happy New Year. She said, I'm from Korea. I said, Koreans celebrate Chinese New Year. And then she just came up and she just hugged me. She just hugged me, a stranger. And then she talked more, and we talked more. And then I said, well, I want to give you my address. And so I gave her my address. And then I just decided, and then she gave me another hug. And then you know what? A couple of days later, she sent me an email, if I can find it. A text message. I can't find it. On my cell phone. It's got to be there somewhere. Nope, can't find it. Oh, there she says. This really touched my heart. She tells me her name, and she says, I'd like to say thank you. Actually, I've had many people complain yesterday, but when I heard you say God blessed you from you, when I heard that, I recognize I'm a priceless person. And other people too. Have a great day. She says, sure, when I have time, I will visit you with my children. Thank you so much. All because I said Happy New Year to her on the street. Just like that. 2 hugs, an email. Now she's wanting to visit my family. Yesterday again in the coffee shop, I said, Lord, help me to share your word. And I got some New Testaments for you guys this morning, free of charge. And every one of you, how can you give out God's word if you don't have God's word in your pocket? Or in your briefcase or in your backpack. I have brought a few extra this morning. I don't want to see a single one left because I pray that God will use me. Yesterday in the coffee shop, another lady sitting beside me, she didn't like to talk to me. She was so engrossed with her cell phone. But when I said Happy New Year and I got a little book that changed my life, she took it home with her. Who knows what will happen with that? Simple. So it's so simple to share the gospel. So simple to plant seeds. But you have to be bold and brave. Next slide. Philip was filled with compassion. He was filled with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. Do you get moved when you see people in the SkyTrain or in the coffee shops? Do you get moved when you see people at the airport? I do, because Jesus is moved with compassion. The secret, Acts 4:13. What does that say? They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. If you have been with Jesus this morning, it will make a difference when you go out this afternoon. You'll be looking around for people and say, how can I bless someone today? How can I bless someone this week? What can I do? What can I do? Well, that is Philip. He's motivating you, brothers and sisters, because he's God's messenger. God's messenger in Samaria. God's messenger on the street going to Gaza, where he meets this guy from Ethiopia. The next slide is being methods of God in evangelism. Methods of God. Ah, now we all like methods. In God's strategy, there are many methods. Interestingly, we have the latest technology with great tools of communication, books, schools, seminars, promotional techniques. But in North America and Europe, the impact of Christianity seems to be going backwards. In Asian countries like South America, African countries, the gospel is advancing. Maybe we have focused on man's methods, relied on them more, like more programs, nicer music, nice buildings, rather than the power and the presence of God. Yes, God can use technology and is using it. I even got a cell phone, and I use it with working with international students. But in this chapter, we observe the three most important methods God uses. There's no substitute for these methods. I know that there is somebody complained to C.T. Studd once about the method he was using. Somebody complained to Billy Graham once about the method he was using. And Billy Graham says, what's your method? Oh, he says, I don't have any method. He says, I like my method better than yours. I like my method better than yours. So we can get hung up on methods. Never mind, C.T. Studd says, never mind what folks say about us being apart. We can't please everybody. We'll follow only God. Remember the Miller's donkey? It's a lesson for those who, instead of doing what they believe to be right, chop and change according to the opinions of other folk. The fable runs, the miller, the son, and the donkey went to the market. The miller rode the donkey all the way, and people exclaimed, cruel man riding himself and making his son walk. So he got down and his son rode. Then the people slanged, what a lazy son for riding while his poor old father walks. Then both father and son rode, and people said, cruelty to animals, poor donkey. So they got down and carried the donkey on a pole, and people said, here are two asses carrying another ass. Then all three walked, and people said, what fools to have a donkey and not ride it. So let's get ahead with our work for God and not care what folks say. Amen? That was C.T. Studd. So what is God's methods? Preparation by God, first of all. He was preparing Philip. He was preparing him by starting off with serving of tables and then taking him to Samaria, where God used him to do powerful things, and then leading him now on a cross-cultural mission to reach a guy from Ethiopia. Wow. God prepared me by taking me to India and Belgium. He prepared a farmer's boy, so today I'm reaching international students, and when I started, I didn't even know how to turn on the computer. My wife had to send all my emails. I was writing them by hand. And she would send them to the international student. They thought they got an email from me, but they got one from my wife instead. That's my pure skills. And yet God used me to reach thousands and thousands of international students. I give God all the glory and praise. And I'm 73 this week. Not this week. I'm 47 years married. Got to get straight. I'm 73 in September. And I'm still pressing on by God's grace. So preparation. And God is preparing the Ethiopian guy. Why? Because he took him all the way from Ethiopia to come to Jerusalem to hear about the one true God. And this guy came from another country looking for the one true God. He wasn't there as a tourist. He came there looking for God. Guess what? He found an Old Testament scripture from Isaiah. He must have paid a lot of money for that Old Testament. He probably paid thousands of dollars in his currency to get that one scripture from about God. Then Philip asked him, do you know what you're reading? He says, I don't know what I'm reading. But God prepared him. God prepared him. And God's preparing us. He's preparing us. And he's preparing these international students. I have a friend here this morning. Just met him this morning. But my friend from Kelowna phoned me up and said, Bert, there's a brother from Turkey. He's a Muslim background. And he became a Christian in Kelowna. He's been there for 5 months. Now he's going to Kamloops, Vancouver. He's arrived this morning. Let's welcome him. Mahu. Welcome here.
Thank you.
So Tell us how long you've been here and what you're doing.
Vancouver or Kelowna?
Kelowna.
Okay, I came 5 months ago from Turkey, and one night I tell my story.
Yeah, what are you doing in Kelowna?
Okay, yeah. I am learning English in Kelowna. I started in Kelowna.
You live with a Canadian family, right?
Yeah.
So that helped you to learn English. You didn't want to associate with Turkish people.
Yes.
Right.
Because in Kelowna, there's no Turkish student, no Turkish people.
Okay.
I speak English all the time, yeah.
And now you're continuing to study?
Yes.
English.
I will continue study in Lambeth College.
Okay. And you come from a Muslim background, so what happened in Kelowna?
Oh, yeah. I come from a Muslim family, and my father, my mother are Muslim now. But I came to Canada and I saw Jesus in my dream. It is great because he spoke to me with different language. I never heard this language, but I understood everything. And he said 3 times, welcome. And first time, I didn't understand what was going on, but I understood he was Jesus, and Jesus is Yeshua.
Okay.
Because he said, I am Yeshua, and I learned after Yeshua is Jesus. Yeah.
So what happened?
And I told my homestay father. He is very strong Christian, and he understood his Yeshua, Jesus. And he talked to me about Jesus, and I became Christian. And I spoke to my family about this topic, religion, and my mother said, it is your life, you choose. Yeah, and I picked the Christianity.
Are you excited about?
Yeah, religion? Yeah. Because I become Christian, and I feel every time God, Jesus, helped me.
Amen, amen. I heard you were going to 3 churches in Kelowna.
Yeah.
And what's your plan with your Christianity? Are you taking another step this summer?
Yes, I will be baptized in summertime.
Why? Why are you waiting till the summer?
Because my family will come to Canada, and they will join my Baptist celebration. Yeah.
Wow! Wow! Isn't that exciting, folks? Isn't that wonderful? Can you say, "Jesus said welcome 3 times"? I think we should say welcome at least 3 times. Welcome! Welcome! Welcome!
Thank you very much.
If you mean that, you're going to shake his hand and find out a little bit more about him and how you can help him, because he's going to be studying English at Van West for another few months before you're going to do your PhD, right?
Yeah. I will continue PhD.
Okay, and we'll introduce you to the family of God in Vancouver.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is his first time in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
First day.
Yeah, first day. Thank you. God bless you. Wow. That took effort for me to figure out where he was staying and what he was planning to do, and just that I come from Coquitlam and have to make sure he came here on Sunday morning. Thank you for coming. That really encouraged my own heart to see how God prepared him coming to Canada. God prepared him by taking him into a homestay that was Christian. God prepared him through a dream. Then God prepared him through churches and our international ministry in Kelowna, and now he's continuing his journey. Isn't that exciting? That's the excitement that I have. Almost every week I see things like that happen. Preparation by God. My time is gone. A couple more slides. I'll just go through them quickly. Not only preparation, God prepares people. Lord, prepare me, even this week, to be used by you. But the purpose of God, through this preparation is to touch the whole world. It started at Jerusalem. It started right at home. And they went to Judea. And to Samaria, where the people The Jews hated those people. That was part of God's strategy. Muslims are part of God's strategy. Then one of your pastors is going to Indonesia. I know your pastor's on fire for God. But the question is, are you willing to reach your neighbor? Are you willing to reach your neighbor? Yes, we have short-term missions. You guys get excited. You know, I think sometimes, so many times, many people go on short-term missions. Why? Because it's so exciting to go to another country. But then, when they come back, they're not even willing to reach their neighbors. They're not even willing to reach international students. And God will judge us for that, brothers and sisters, because these people have come to our country. There was two things that happened at that Chinese New Year that I will never forget, that the Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church that put on that dinner. Two things. One thing was a girl, an older girl, a university girl. She says, I don't want to sit on that table. I want to sit with international students. I want to make new friends with international students. I said, God bless you. I don't want to just sit with all my friends. Then there was a group of high school students. They were all sitting together. There was only two places left, and we put two Japanese students there. And nobody talked to them. Nobody was willing to talk to those students. And they were the host church with those high school students. And fortunately, the youth pastor saw it, and he blasted that. He says, how can you sit there and not even talk to these people that have come here to our church today? Isn't that sad? And we call ourselves Christian and Missionary Alliance. We call ourselves Mennonites. We call ourselves these words. Well, the purpose of God is that we will be God's instrument, because if we don't reach these people that have come to this country, who will? Who will? A couple more. Power of God is seen. We see the power of God. And Philip saw that. He saw the power of God into this man's life and into the Samaritan. With the Samaritan, he saw many miracles take place. And people are attracted to the whole gospel. Disciples saw and experienced the power of God. Do we need that today in our lives, in our churches? Tozer said, in short, the church began in power, moved in power, and moved just as long as it had power. Oh, brothers and sisters, is this your longing? The prayer, the cry of our hearts to see the power of God in our midst. God is using dreams. He's using all kinds of things to speak to his people. God is moving. Are we moving with God? So I conclude with the message. The message in Philip, there is conviction. Simple message. You can read it for yourself. Conviction that my sins put Jesus on the cross. My sins caused me to be separated from God. We sang about it this morning. The results of sin have called all this brokenness and hurts and pains and problems of the world. There must be conviction. That man was convicted by the Holy Spirit. This brother was convicted by God through that dream. I am Jesus. I am welcoming you. God uses that kind of thing. So there must be conviction. There is conversion. There is conversion. We have a wonderful girl from Japan that just got converted, and she's sharing her testimony everywhere she goes about how God is changing her life. She's come from a family of a lot of issues and a lot of medical things that's been going on in her life, but she is converted. She now has Jesus helping her. And the last thing we see in this passage is there is confession. Baptism. This man was willing to confess, and God used that man to start the Ethiopian church. Philip was an international evangelist right in Jerusalem, right on the street going to Gaza. He was willing. He was available. He was God's messenger. And a couple more quotes that I have at the end of my message. Oswald Sanders, I think, there is no greater honor than to be the instrument in God's hand, the leading one person out of the kingdom of Satan into the glorious light of heaven. The angels rejoice. There's a party. People shouted and celebrated at the end of the Olympics. Canadians are so happy with so many medals. Everybody's happy, right? But this is far more joyful. There's far greater joy. One person that gets converted, far greater joy for that. Next slide. I care not how or where I lived or what hardships I went through so I could gain souls for Christ. There's no greater desire in the heart of God, and there should no greater desire in you. I close with this illustration. This is my last illustration, but it speaks to me and it moves me every time I hear it. Because what kind of sacrifice am I willing to make this week? Am I willing to give up my time? Am I willing to look for someone that might just want a little New Testament that may not have one? What will it take? In the years of the gold rush, there was a ship on Lake Erie that caught fire. It was trying to reach land. Men and women in great confusion were trying to escape. In the crowd was a California gold miner. He fastened his gold securely around him and was preparing to swim ashore. Just then a little girl in the crowd touched him and looked up in his face with great longing and said, "Won't you please save me? I have no papa here to save me. Won't you please?" What would he do? He gave his belt of gold, his life struggle, one swift glance, but the little girl's soft touch, her voice and her eyes strangely affected him. He could not say both, which all kinds of thoughts raced through his mind. Then he dropped his gold, he took the child, and made the plunge into the water. He reached the shore utterly exhausted. He opened his eyes. There was a child standing over him with tears of gratitude flooding her eyes. And a human life never seemed so precious. He lost his gold, his years of toil, but he saved a life. And in saving it, he found a new life springing up within him. "Listen, there are voices calling, 'Will you help me?' There's no one to help me. I need what you have. I have never heard this message before. The greatest message in the world. The good news. Will you sacrifice to give this message to one soul this week?" It would mean could mean the difference between life and death. Combine God's message and God's message methods and God's message, and the result is God's strategy for reaching the world. Let's pray.